So tonight, as I said, I want to just direct your attention to Matthew 25. And you come to verse 14 here. And we read the words in verse 14, "For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods, to one servant five, the other servant two, and to the other servant just one talent. And each one did what they did with the talents given." Now let me just give you perhaps a wider focus on this whole chapter. Matthew 25. Well, let's go to Matthew 24. We have there the teaching that the Lord will return. The Savior's return is chapter 24, and the Lord speaks of the signs of his return. Now, that's 24. If you go to chapter 25, we learn what happens when the Savior returns. So 24, it tells us the signs leading up to it. 25 tells us what will happen when he does come. Now, chapter 25, verses 1 to 13, deals with that passage you'll be familiar with. Read verse 1, chapter 25, verse 1. "Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom," and so on and so forth. And of course, what you have there is these virgins, and five were wise and five were foolish, and you know what happens. But the key to the lesson is verse 13. Look at what verse 13 says. "Watch." And there's the key to the parable. Here's the point. The Lord is going to return. And when he returns, there will be people who are received in, and there will be people who will be caught off guard. They didn't expect the Lord to come, and they were not prepared. There's the point. Five prepared, five were not prepared. The lesson is this: you live watching for the return of the Lord. You be ready for the day when God comes. That's the gist of the parable. Be ready, watch for the return of the Lord, and when he comes, he will divide those who are his and those who are not. And so verses 1 to 13, that first chunk of the chapter, deals with watching for the Savior's return. But the section we're in tonight, verse 14 to 30, deals with working before the Savior's return. Because we're told here in this second parable of chapter 25, when the Lord returns, you go there to verse 19, chapter 25, verse 19. "After a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them." So when the Savior comes, he will reckon with his servants. He will judge his servants, those who have been faithful and those who have failed. Of course, here we're looking at the whole of humanity. And that's the view here. All men are supposed to be the servants of God. But some utterly fail in not even bowing down and seeking him for salvation. And so we're told in this passage, men and women, that we ought to work now, because when the Lord returns, he will reckon with us and judge what we have done. So that's the general focus, a wide lens that we're at the chapter. Let's now get into some of the detail. Chapter 25, verse 14. We read here, "For the kingdom of heaven is." And why stop there? Because I want you to be 100% clear on what this is saying, because you read that phrase over and over again in Scripture. Go to verse 1, chapter 25. It says, "Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened." So here's this phrase, kingdom of heaven. Do you know what the kingdom of heaven is? Can you explain it? Can you define it? Because this comes up time and time again in the Word of God. Sometimes you have the kingdom of heaven. Other times you have the kingdom of God. And the questions asked, are these two different kingdoms? Are these two different things? What is the kingdom of God? Because you better be fully aware of it, because you're supposed to be in it. And if you're in the kingdom of God, you need to know something about it. That's what the Lord's doing here. He wants to inform his people, the kingdom of heaven is like this. It's like the 10 virgins. It's like these men having talents. So if you want to know what the kingdom of heaven is like, which you're supposed to be in now, and which you hope to be throughout eternity, well, let's work out what it is tonight, all right? The kingdom of heaven, if you just turn back with me a few chapters to Matthew 19. Like I said, the question is asked, is the kingdom of God one thing and the kingdom of heaven something else? Like, for example, is the kingdom of heaven, is that talking about, you know, the golden streets and the pearly gates? And the kingdom of God, is that talking about, you know, God's triumph? What is this? Well, they're both the exact same thing, because the Lord uses them in this chapter interchangeably. Go to verse 23, Matthew 19:23. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, verily I say unto you, that a rich man shall hardly enter into the kingdom of heaven. Mark it now. Kingdom of heaven. And again, verse 24, and again I say unto you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. Now the Lord is saying the exact same thing twice there. The same lesson is being taught, but it used as two different terms here, the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of God. You see, the kingdom of heaven is the kingdom of God. You could talk about the kingdom of Great Britain or the kingdom of Her Majesty the Queen. It's the same thing. It's the same place. It's a geographical location. But when you talk about the kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven, we're thinking here about, well, think about the word kingdom. What is a kingdom? You think about the United Kingdom, the kingdom of our Queen. What are we thinking about there? When you talk about a kingdom, you're talking about a realm which is governed by rules and principalities. And there's a power there which is governing everything. And there's a law and there's an authority and there's all of these things. It's a system of government. And so the kingdom of heaven is a system of government, which God rules over. There's nobody ruling in this kingdom but God. There's no policy makers. There's no government. There's no House of Lords. There's no Stormont. There's no number 10. It's God. It is a theocracy. He is the one who rules it all. He is the King of the kingdom. And you and I need to know, how does this kingdom work? What happens in this kingdom? What are the laws of God that He's established for this kingdom to work? How do I fit into this kingdom? How do we get into the kingdom? Well, we get into the kingdom, as Ephesians puts it in there, Ephesians 2 puts it, that we become fellow citizens by His blood. He has died for us as the King to bring us in, to wash us, cleanse us, and that's your way into the kingdom, through Christ's death. Now, for you and I, we're in the kingdom. And the kingdom is here and now. Jesus Christ is ruling and reigning in the kingdom. That's happening now. We're brought into the kingdom of God when we're saved. That's what salvation is. And we are part of His glorious, triumphant reign. So please go back with me now to Matthew 25. And so in Matthew 25 says, for the kingdom of heaven is... All right, again, that's present tense, okay? For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. Now, here's the kingdom of heaven. And the kingdom of heaven is ruled by God. And it's kind of like this. That's the idea of the language here. It's like this. It's like the God of this kingdom, the Lord, has left, he's walked away from his kingdom, if I can put it that way. He's walked away for a time, okay? And he's left to his servants the responsibility of governing his kingdom, all right? He has sent them out to do work and to labor. He has given to them his goods. Do you see that at the end of verse 14? He gave to them, delivered unto them his goods, unto his servants. He's given them talents each. Things to use and work for the advancement of their Lord. All right? And if you go into the book of Acts, that's the very language you get. that the Lord, he walked and labored on earth, and then he ascended up to heaven, and he left the work to the people that were there, the disciples, the New Testament church, to do the work of evangelizing and laboring for advancement of the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven. Now, go to verse 15. He gave to each servant something. Verse 15, and unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1. Now, just stop there. He gave to each man talents. And let me just try to maybe define what these are. It's purposefully an ambiguous term here. It takes an awful lot. It's anything which is an ability given to you from God. Let's make it really simple. Let's try breathing. It's a gift from God, the talent you have. We all are brilliant at breathing. It's a natural talent that God has given, and so every breath, as we said in our opening prayer, ought to be used for the glory of God. Now, we can obviously from that mention other talents. We all have different talents. You might have the gift of the gab. You might be able to sing. You might be able to witness. You might be excellent at prayer. You might be good at studying. Everybody has a talent. Everybody has an ability of some sort. And I know that because the Lord makes that clear in other verses of Scripture. You go to Corinthians there, and where the Lord talks about the body of the church, and you have the eye and the hand and the foot, and they all have their role, their talent, their gift, their ability. There's the point. Everybody has been given a gift from God or several gifts from God for the purpose of laboring to the advancement of his kingdom. Now you might ask, why did one man get 5 and another man get 2? And this third wee fellow who seems to be at the very end of the line, and he just kind of gets 1 talent. Why is that? Well, read the rest of the verse. Verse 15. And unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to every man according to his several ability. To every man according to his several ability. He gave to one man 5 talents, for that man clearly had an ability to use those 5 talents. The man who had 2 talents, the Lord did not deem him as able to handle 5, so he only gave him 2. The one who had only 1 talent, the Lord deemed him only as able to handle 1 talent. Now let's just bring this into the business realm. If you were running a business and you had a man, he's just very able. And not be sexist, maybe you had a woman, she's very able. And you might give to that man or that woman, that individual, 5 different particular areas in which to work. I don't know, maybe finance, and maybe some kind of literacy or computers, or 5 different things that they oversee. Another person walks in, maybe younger. Maybe haven't the same experience in life. And as a businessman, you'll not give to them the same amount as you've given to this experienced individual. Give them 2. If someone's just started the job, you'll give them 1 talent, 1 task, 1 thing to do. All right? So he gives to each man according to their ability. I want you to keep that in the back of your head, because that's very important later on. Because maybe you're thinking, well, that's still not fair. Let's say there's Jimmy down the road. He's got 5 talents. He's a very gifted individual. He works hard for the Lord. He is going to be well rewarded with all his gifts and talents. Here's me. I only have 1 wee talent. I have only 2 wee talents. Will you be rewarded any less? Well, actually, we'll just go ahead and deal with that because I'm halfway there. Anyway, if you go with me here to the rest of this passage, here's what happens, and read this very carefully. Verse 16, then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same and made them other 5 talents. All right? So he worked, he made his 5 into 10. He doubled his talents. You come to the next man, verse 17, And likewise, he that had two, he also gained another two. Now keep the principle here. He doubled his talents as well. Now if you took that in a percentage, all right, both of them performed 100%. Let's forget about the five and the two. Let's deal with percentages. Each man did a very good job. A very good job. And they doubled what they got. So look at the rewards. Look at how the Lord rewarded the man with five talents. Verse 21. His Lord said unto him, well done. These are nice words. And I look forward, brothers and sisters, to the day we enter into heaven, and I trust this will be what we hear. Verse 21, his Lord said unto him. And by the way, this Lord, you know, just keep with the analogy, it's just a Lord who owns the kingdom, but our Lord has died for us. He shed his blood for us. We don't just owe him our service just because we live in his kingdom. We owe him our service because he has bled and died to bring us into the kingdom. And so all the sweeter these words will be. Verse 21. His Lord said unto him. This is the man with five talents that became ten. His Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Does that not encourage you to work, men and women, for God? Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Now, read the reward that was given to the man with two talents. And you'll notice it is exactly the same. Verse 23. His Lord said unto him, well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Each man received the exact same reward. And maybe now you're thinking, well, how's that fair? The man with five talents surely should get more because he produced more. Not so. God had given to each man his ability. And so he gives to each man according to the ability that God has given him. And God requires you to be faithful with your ability and the talents God gives you. Let's think about this. And when I was thinking this today, I couldn't help but think of my own two children. You know the significant difference between Micah and Abigail. And I expect a lot more from Micah than I do from Abigail. Why is that? It's because they're different. And they have different abilities. It would be wrong for me to expect the same from Abigail as I do from Micah because they're so different. And men and women, this is like us. Our Heavenly Father expects us to do 100% with what we have. If you have two talents, use them well. If you have five talents, use them well. Don't complain that you have to do so much more compared to everybody else. God has given you ability. I have to say, when I go to presbytery meetings or the week of prayer with our ministers and elders, and I look across the spectrum of men, especially our ministers, for I know them reasonably all well now, and I look across them and I see such a massive variety in ability and talents. Some men are, they just seem to be bursting at the seams with ability. They seem to have it all. Other men have, well, we just about managed to get through. And there's the difference here, okay? But God has given to each man his ability and his talents, and they must be used well. And God will require all of our hands, men and women, that which he has given to us. Maybe you can go to Romans with me for a moment here. Romans 14. Romans 14. And the verse, and the verse 12. And here's this wee verse, you'll know it well. So then, every one of us shall give account of himself to God. I tell you, as I stand here, that strikes fear in me. The day when I will stand, everyone, don't just sit there and think, oh, that's the unsaved. What a nonsense. Everyone means everyone. Every one of us, Paul says, us,
shall give account of himself to God. And we will give a record, as it were, of our service to the Lord. And that scares the wits out of me. Let's go on. If you turn to 1 Corinthians 3. You can read 1 Corinthians 3 later. Go to 2 Corinthians, actually, and we'll go there. Let me see now. 2 Corinthians 5, in the verse 10. I already feel like just stopping the prayer meeting. Let's just pray that God helps us to labor well. Because when the day comes, the judgment day comes, it's too late. Need to labor well now. Anyway, verse 10. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that every one may receive the things done in his body, according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. And there's the exact same language again. Romans 14, 1 Corinthians 3, 2 Corinthians 5. This idea of everybody having to give an account for what they've done before the Lord. Now just go back to Matthew 25 for a little minute. And I want to just try and perceive what you're thinking right now. And maybe in your mind you're thinking, is there not a parable in the Bible? It's not a parable in the Bible where it says God gave to one man five, another man two, another man one, and different men get different rewards. Well, yes, that's right. It's a different parable altogether. And it's dealing with a slightly different thing. You see, the difference between that parable and this parable is this. The other parable, each man was given a different task. But they were all given the same talents. That's the way it works. I'm trying to think now. That's the way it works. They were all given the same number of talents. But one came back with 10 talents. The other came back with 5. And the other came back with nothing. All right. So they all had the same starting place. And the one with 10 worked very hard to get the 10. The one with 5 worked reasonably hard to get the 5. And the one who came back with nothing didn't do any work whatsoever. And so that's the difference in the parable. Here, the three different men were given three different things, and two of them come back with 100%. Actually, I'm bad at my mathematics there. It's 200% they come back with, because they came back with the pound, the talent, and another talent, whatever the case was. So, I want you to see that just an outset here. This is how the kingdom of God works. God has given to every man his ability and his talents, and God requires from each man according to his ability and talents. It's like this. I just believe personally, when the Lord calls a man to the ministry, God requires more from me than he does from you. That's my opinion. And that's my application of that text. Does that give you a free ride now to sit back and let the minister do it all? Well, no. Because if God has given you any ability and any talent, you better make sure you work hard and you labor, because God will require at your hand what he has given to you and entrusted to you. Now, let's go to the man who had one talent. And I hope this is helpful. The man who had one talent, you see him there in verse 18. But he that had received one, so we're in Matthew 25, verse 18. But he that had received one went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. Well, he's not the sharpest tool in the shed. Let me tell you, if it was his money, well, you've done the same thing. I don't think so. He would have made sure that the money he had would have gained money for him so that he would have been wealthy. But he put it into the ground. He sunk it into the earth. And men and women, I have to say, when God gives you any talent or any ability, the worst thing you could do is sink into the earth. I was chatting to a child of God today, and a particular person was telling me about a young relative of theirs, a great-grandchild, and they were away singing, and they have a beautiful voice. They're young. They have a beautiful voice. But what they were singing was pop music and nonsense. And that's taking your one talent and burying it in the earth. Burning it up. Remember those other passages there? It was 2 Corinthians 3, where it talks there about building and working with stones and precious things and gold. On the other hand, you have the people who build things out of wood, hay, and stubble. And you could be blessed with particular abilities, and all you do is you're working for stubble. You're wasting it. It's going to burn up someday and mean nothing. That's what this man is doing. He sunk it into the earth and accomplished nothing, so that when his Lord returned, he came empty-handed. And what an awful thing to stand the judgment day and stand empty-handed before God. And you imagine it, if you were there, you stand before the judgment throne and your hands are empty. If God allowed you the ability to speak, what would you say? Well, I'll give you a wee clue. Go with me here now to verse 24. So, verse 22 tells us that the Lord has returned, and the man with... Sorry, verse 24, yes. Let's read verse 24. Then he, which had received the one talent, came and said, Lord, here he is now, as the Lord has called him. We're going to reckon now with him. Then he which had received the one talent came and said, Lord! And here comes the line of excuses. And I want to emphasize the word excuse there. I knew thee! Didn't know him at all. That's the problem. I knew thee, that thou art an hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, and gathering where thou hast not strawed. And I was afraid, and went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast that is thine. He gives them the talent back. See, here's the problem. This man says, I was scared of you. I was terrified. Do you know what the problem is? This man had no peace with God. Only saw his anger. Only saw his wrath. And there is the heart of the unbeliever. But all of this, men and women, is excuse making. Because that man, he didn't have peace with God. This is how he wrongly perceived his Lord to be, and he was wrong. But let me tell you, the Lord in this parable in verse 26 hits the nail in the head. Look at verse 26. After this man has given all these excuses, I couldn't work, and it didn't work, the Lord says to him in verse 26, His Lord answered and said unto him, Thou wicked and slothful servant. Did you see that word, slothful? Remember what we did at the very beginning. I told you the Lord gave to each man different talents, one five, the other man he gave to two, and the third man he gave one talent. And why did the Lord give each man that particular amount of talents? Because he gave every man what he knew the man had the ability to work with. And when the Lord here gave to that man one talent, he knew that man had the ability to work with that one talent. But now the Lord comes and says to him, it's not that you hadn't the ability, you're lazy. And this man, his own words condemn him. Oh God, the Lord, I keep saying God here, it's Lord here, capital L, forgive me. It's the parable, and the picture here is this Lord, and he knows full well you've been a lazy lump. And you buried the talent because you couldn't bear the burden of working for me. If it was your money, you would have worked. And obviously it was working. You see, here's the thing. These three men all worked in the same climate, in the same financial circumstances. They were all in the same kingdom, the same area at the same time. They're all working on a level playing field. And there's no excuse for this man, except, as the Lord put it here, sloth.
let's just read verse 26 onwards. His Lord answered and said unto him, Thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sowed not, and gather where I have not strawed. Thou oughtest therefore to put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received mine own with usury. You could at least have given it into the hands of someone else who could do the job. But you're so lazy, you buried it in the ground. You had no burden, no desire, no passion for the advancement of your Lord's kingdom. And there's the problem. No desire. You're slothful. Now, verse 28 is interesting. Let me just note verse 28 with you. Take, therefore, the talent from him and give it unto him which hath 10 talents. I think that's a little bit strange. Sure, the man with 10 talents has got 10 and he's doing well. And why would you give it to him? Well, verse 29, here's a principle, which is a principle and a law in the kingdom of God. For unto every one that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath. Let me just flesh that out a little bit. Here is this man with one talent, and God gave them one talent, and he didn't use it, so God took it off him again and gave it to somebody else. He proved himself. And you know, we have to be careful there, because it's often been said, and it's kind of half right. It's often said, if you make good use of your talents, God will give you more talents. And to a degree, there's a lot of truth in that. It is right. But I want you to look at the parable very closely. The Lord of the of this kingdom didn't give any talents to the man who had the two that became four talents, although he was 100%, 200% productive as well. Both these men were equally productive, but the Lord in his providence gave it to the man with now 10 talents. And you see, the dispensing of talents and blessings comes from God alone. There's sovereignty there. And there is no doubt, if we fail to use the talents and ability that God gives us, you should expect God to take it off you and give it to someone else so that they might do the work in the kingdom, because that is a reality. Listen, if God gives talents, an equal distribution of talents, and one part isn't doing the job, well, that's a gap, as it were, in the kingdom, in the workforce, and God has to step in and do something about that. Because God gives us all talents for a reason, to see the lost one, his name glorified, the kingdom extended, and if you're not using it, well, somebody else is going to have to use it instead of you, because the work has to be done. And if you and I fail in the work, well, then God will have to bring someone else in to do it. This is the reality. But the work must be done. And then let's just go to verse 30. Because I want to just emphasize that the man with one talent obviously was not a believer. He had no peace with God. He had a wrong view entirely of his Lord. Verse 30. It says, and cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness, and there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. That's hell. And this is what happens when the Lord returns. We ought to be watching for the Lord's return and be prepared. But we ought also to be working for the Lord's return. For when the Lord returns, this is what he's going to do. He's going to reckon every man for what they've done. And if you have wasted the life that God has given you, your breath, your ability to pray, it's because you're unconverted, and God will cast you into the lake of fire. Child of God, we will not be cast into the lake of fire, but God requires of you to be faithful with the gifts that he gives you. Unless your work will burn up on the day of judgment and you'll be left empty-handed. I want to say, maybe just in closing, to clarify a little thing. Obviously here we're not talking about a salvation by works. This passage is not teaching that only those who work properly get into the kingdom of heaven. Because if you read on down here, this is a very interesting passage, and you'll be familiar with this as well. It's the passage where the king, so verse 34, "Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Now why? For I was in hunger and ye gave me meat. I was thirsty and ye gave me drink," so on and so forth. And then verse 37, "Then shall the righteous answer and saying, You know, Lord, when did we feed you when you're hungry? And when did we do this?" You see, here's the people who evidently were not working for their salvation. They didn't even realize that we're serving God when they were serving God. They weren't trying to earn their way into heaven by their good works. They knew that salvation is not by good works. Of course, if you go into the next group here, when the Lord says to those on his left hand, verse 41, "Then shall ye say also unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed." Verse 42, "For I was in hunger and ye gave me no meat," and so on and so forth. They didn't do the work. And then verse 44, read verse 44 says, "Then shall they also answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee an hungry, or a thirst, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister unto thee?" They're shocked. They thought, but Lord, we did work. And the Lord says, "Your works were nothing." Here's the people who evidently were trusting in their works of righteousness to save them. But of course it didn't work. Verse 46 then is a summary. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment. But the righteous, you're not made righteous by your works, you're made righteous by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. But the righteous into life eternal. So the parable of the talents here is a warning. Work. Work before the Savior's return. For when he comes, you will give a reckoning for how you have worked. We'll leave it there tonight. We trust that God challenges us all through this.